we say grace and peace to the household of faith. We certainly praise God for being here, for all his goodness, all his grace. Now, let's go right away and have a word of prayer before we begin. Now, righteous Lord, our God and Father, Lord, we just praise you and thank you, O God, that your will is being done right now, even now. Lord, your people are gathered and assembled as thou hast ordained and decreed. And Lord, you have your word already decreed to speak unto this, thy precious people, thy loved ones from eternity. Yes, even now in time. Lord, bless, help, deliver, encourage, unction. Oh God, give joy. And that unspeakable and full of all glory. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name now. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I love that song too, Ella.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we are believing that everyone God has decreed to be here is here right now.
Amen.
On the sound of my voice. And we're trusting God, the Holy Spirit, to encourage, deliver, bless, as he has so deemed, decreed from eternity, and will now and is able to manifest it right now in time. Won't you turn with me today to Galatians? We've been laboring in this territory for some time now. Galatians chapter 1, we moved up a few verses. We're going to deal with verses 6 through 10 and primarily verse 7. So turn with me in your Bibles. We trust that everyone has a Bible. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. And we want to pay a little special attention to verse 7.
Amen.
El Livman, we thank God, is our designated reader today. If anyone doesn't have a Bible, please, one of our members, see if there are some Bibles in the cabinet, please. Amen. I guarantee you will need a Bible to follow along with God's word.
Mm-hmm.
We have some Bibles somewhere in the house. As soon as you get it, turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. We'll begin at verse 6 through verse 10 for a context. All right, those that have Bibles right now and are there, Ella, would you please begin reading verse 6?
Galatians chapter 1, beginning with the 6th verse.
Mm-hmm.
I marvel,
Paul said,
that ye are so soon removed.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised. I'm shocked. I'm overwhelmed. I'm flabbergasted. I'm cast back. Ye are so soon removing, as present tense,
from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
From him, this aorist tense, that called you from eternity and manifested it in time, called you into the grace of Christ. Or the grace that belongs to Christ. Grace. We're going to give a vivid meaning and portrayal of that by the scriptures shortly. Mm-hmm. Unto another gospel. All right?
Which is not another
or an other.
But there be some that trouble you.
But there be some that are troubling you.
And will pervert the gospel of Christ.
And are perverting the gospel of Christ. All right. You notice he called the gospel that he had preached unto them the gospel of Christ. Christ did not preach this gospel in his earthly sojourn that he delivered by revelation to the apostle Paul to preach. But yet, it is Christ's gospel because it was his, delivered unto Paul by and through revelation to minister to a distinct group.
Yes.
All right, Ella, verse 8.
Amen. Verse 8. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, than that which we have preached unto you.
If any of us, those of my companions, my fellow laborers, or even an angel from above, preach or be preaching any other gospel unto you than that which I had come to you preaching, which was the gospel of the grace of God, Paul said what?
Let him be accursed.
Let him be accursed. Uh-huh.
As we said before.
Said it once. Finish saying it again.
So say I now again.
Mm-hmm.
If
any man preach, any among you or anywhere else preach any other gospel than that which the Lord had given to me exclusively, and ordained that I preach unto you, Galatians, what?
Let him be accursed.
Let him be accursed.
Amen.
I want to speak to you this morning from this overview. Differentiating the gospels.
Amen.
Differentiating the gospels. Gospels, we know, means good news or good message.
Yes.
But there's this word, differentiating, we want to look at and open up today. The root word of the word, or the root of the word differentiating, or differentiate, is the word differ.
Uh-huh.
It is a verb or an action word.
Yes.
It shows action. It means, get this, it means being unlike. Mm-hmm. It also means to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
We want to differentiate this morning the Gospels. There's a reason the Apostle Paul got so in a frenzy, so up in arms, and scold the Galatians whom he had went among preaching the gospel of the grace of God and come to find that they were adhering to another gospel.
Amen.
Which, he said, which is not another, we're going to get to that. But there be some that are troubling you and would pervert the gospel of Christ that was given me to preach to you.
Amen.
Specifically. Uh-huh. Exclusively.
Amen.
Yes.
In its noun form, the word differ is difference, meaning unlikeness in degree, that is extent or scope. Unlikeness, the degree, the extent, or the scope, or the point of unlikeness. Another verbal form would be differentiate, meaning to make or show different. That is, the point, that is where, or the degree, the extent, or scope of the unlikeness or the disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
Brethren from Jerusalem,
yes,
had come down to the Galatian brethren, saints, believers, and began preaching to them the gospel that had been assigned to them, which was the kingdom gospel, and was preaching it to primarily Gentiles, of whom, after Paul's conversion and commission, of which the Lord Jesus said unto Ananias, I'll show him how great things he must suffer, and how he will bear my words first unto Gentiles, although his ministry was not immediately unto Gentiles first, it was the scope that the Lord had decreed of his ministry. Gentiles primarily. Then he said unto kings, and then the children of Israel. But Paul began preaching unto the Jews.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
But ultimately, the focus of his ministry, as the Lord had ordained, would be unto the Gentiles. So these brethren, believers in Christ, disciples of Christ, if you will, had come down preaching the kingdom gospel, which was assigned to them, to preach primarily unto Jews and a sprinkling of Gentiles in comparison. They had come preaching it, going over territory where Paul had propagated the gospel of grace, and they come preaching a kingdom gospel.
Yes.
And this is that gospel which Paul said, on the one hand, you adhering to another gospel. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it's not really an other.
Amen.
I think we better open that up.
Yes.
So that you can understand. We want understanding to prevail today.
That's it.
We want God's people to be taught and not just a good feeling. We want you to understand, amen, the word of God, what the Bible is not just saying, but what the Bible is teaching.
Amen. Thank God.
More definitions. In verse 1, Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace that belongeth to Christ unto another gospel. Or rather, this is verse 6. I'm sorry. Verse 6. It is another in a qualitative sense. Qualitative is from the root word quality, and it means it is another as to its attributes. That is, what's ascribed or assigned or what it refers to. It's another in its attributes. It's another in its characteristics. Its distinctive marks.
Come on now.
What's distinctive about it? What's different about it?
Amen.
It is another in its properties.
Amen.
Its essential features.
Amen.
It's another in its degree. That is, its extent and its scope.
Man.
It's another gospel.
Man.
It's another numerically. It's different than the one that Paul preached to them.
Man.
It's another. It meaning the one that he preached, it was not it, but it was another one.
Man.
Now, and another or an other. Different Greek word altogether in verse 7. From the Greek word another in verse 6, the Greek word in verse 7 is a totally different word. When Paul said in verse 7, marvel that you so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ to another gospel. Verse 7 said, which the gospel that you have removed to is not an other. But there be some that troubling you and would pervert the gospel of Christ without which I preach unto you. Different Greek word, verse 7. An other. meaning, yes, it is another numerically, but it's still of the same kind, meaning that Christ is the basis of the gospel that I preached unto you, his blood shed for our sins. And he is also the center and the basis and the foundation of the gospel that they came down preaching unto you.
Amen.
But is not for you.
Amen.
It's not for you.
Amen. Amen.
The gospel that Paul was commissioned to preach unto them, they were to receive it and no other. That's why the man went into a boo-goo frenzy.
Man,
they didn't come preaching idolatrous heresy. They were disciples of Christ.
Man.
They followed Christ.
Man.
But it was the wrong content, their gospel. It was the wrong degree. It was the wrong scope.
Man.
Its essential features were wrong for the grace recipients who are of the body of Christ.
Man, I hear you.
Wrong gospel.
Man,
I was so impressed. Ella, you have here it is. Couldn't even call the name of it. I was so impressed when Ella was reading from our bulletin. Ella was reading from our bulletin in Pastor's dissertation on the role of scriptural doctrine in spiritual devotion.
Man.
I'm going to read the second paragraph that we have here. I didn't have the first part of it, but where it starts with the word thirdly. He writes, note that the Greek noun rendered teaching involves the transmitting of information, instruction, or stimulation of scripturally cognitive patterns in the minds of God's people. The content of these teachings must be sound doctrine, that is, the gospel of grace, which had been entrusted to the Apostle Paul exclusively. Reference 1 Timothy 1, 10 and 11. Furthermore, this is the exclusive truth which is conveyed in instructions and directives to all members, no matter what ethnicity, no matter what region, no matter what direction you live, no matter what part of the globe you live, these directives are to all members of the church in the grace dispensation, what we are in today, which should be strictly followed. He references 1 Timothy 4 and 6, verse 11, and then chapter 6, verses 2 through 3. In 2 Timothy 2 and 2, 3:10, and verse 14, Paul focuses strong emphasis on the message that should be taught. We know it's not, but it should be taught.
Man.
Without a doubt, it is the mystery which Timothy had heard from Paul. We reference 2 Timothy 2, 2, 3, 10, and 14. Thus the command is to continuously hold to, engage in, and be occupied with reading, exhorting, and encouraging of obedience that is coupled with the teachings of the Word of God.
Man.
The mystery. We just read in Galatians 1 and 7, it is called the gospel of Christ.
Man.
In other portions, it's called the Word of God. The mystery. which was exclusively delivered unto the Apostle Paul.
Man.
This is a brief resume of and is also an adequate definition espousing the kind of ministry that exudes exhibitions of what true servants of Christ should exemplify today. That is a reading, exhorting, or in their reading, exhorting, and teaching ministry. The gospel of the grace of God. As Paul went to war with those brethren that were preaching and members of the kingdom church from Jerusalem, he went to war with them about bringing that gospel which Christ was also the foundation, the scope, and the basis of to those whom the Lord had ordained and were manifesting the gospel of the grace of God to them through Paul.
Amen.
They came preaching a kingdom gospel which was for one group of God's people.
Amen.
Unto those whom the Lord, predominantly Gentiles, had ordained that the gospel of the grace of God be preached to.
Yes,
that is where preachers and ministers, saints and deacons sitting listening, err today. Wrong gospel. If it's not the gospel of the grace of God.
Amen.
Saved, yes.
Right.
Let me say that again. For somebody come thinking that because the Lord given some light, we think we're the only people saved somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Saved in Asia.
Amen.
Saved in Africa.
Amen.
Saved in Scandinavia.
Yes.
Saved in Ebenezer over across town.
Amen.
Saved to your cousin them down south. Saved, but if it's not the gospel of the grace of God, I'm sorry, wrong gospel, wrong dispensation. Hallelujah. Verse 6 and verse 7 again. Paul said,
amen.
I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Grace of Christ. That's our problem. That's our problem. When I say our, I mean the church. We're everywhere. We don't understand what grace means.
Amen.
We don't really understand what grace is.
Amen.
Most of God's people think that grace is some nicey thing that God ministers to us to help us along the way in believing and receiving him and living for him. Grace is more than that, which we're going to see.
Amen.
Verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, of which he's speaking of, the gospel of the grace of God, which he preached unto them.
Yes,
differentiating the gospels, especially the kingdom gospel and the grace gospel. Let's define grace, Elder, for the benefit of our hearers around the world and in our immediate area and in our immediate audience. Let's define grace. Turn with me. Let's get a scope on grace. To Romans chapter 11, and we're going to take, Elder, verses 1 through 11. Romans chapter 11. And we are going to deal with verses 1 through 11. We want to see what grace, what's its scope, what's its extent, the nature of it. If everyone have it, say amen.
Amen.
Elder, if you got it, let it fly.
Romans chapter 11.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning with the first verse.
First verse.
I say then.
Mm-hmm.
Hath God cast away his people?
Mm-hmm.
God forbid.
Mm-hmm.
For I also am an Israelite,
mm-hmm,
of the seed of Abraham.
Yes.
Of the tribe of Benjamin.
All you folk thinking that Israel is gone for good, here it is. I don't know where you get it from. What Bible you reading? All right, verse 2, Elder.
God hath not cast away his people,
mm-hmm,
which he foreknew,
mm-hmm,
Want you not what the scripture saith of Elijah?
All right. They have been set aside, not cast away. If an Israelite gets his salvation is manifested today, they are members of the body of Christ. National Israel, as God deal with as his exclusive people, has been set aside. He's now dealing with the body of Christ,
yes,
manifesting it, not making it up.
Yes.
If you want to use the word making it up, he's making it up manifestly. For by one Spirit were we all baptized in eternity into one body. Jew, Gentile, male, female, bond, free, alike. But God is now just manifesting his body, what he in eternity had formed and created and formulated.
Yeah.
By one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit were we all baptized into the one body, and that's the body of Christ. Read on, Ella.
God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew.
He foreknew.
Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah?
Mm-hmm.
How he maketh intercession to God,
mm-hmm,
against Israel, saying,
yes,
Lord, they have killed thy prophets,
mm-hmm,
and they dig down thine altars,
mm-hmm,
and I am left alone, and they seek my life.
All right.
But what saith the answer of God to him?
Yes.
I have reserved to myself.
Wait a minute. What did God say? For these folk that think that their faith gets them in, what did God say? I have reserved unto myself. Reserved is in the aorist tense. That means it's a past completed action. It's a done deal.
Yes.
What you saw later is in time, that and all other things in time are just manifestation.
Yes.
God performed all of his works, even the work of salvation in eternity. The Lord foreknew his people, and he foreknew all of us. He just manifestly bring us out that we belong to him. It's manifested that we are his in time, which itself is a created entity. Finish that one, Elder, and go on.
I have reserved to myself 7,000 men.
Yes.
Who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal.
They couldn't bow the knee to Baal because the Lord had reserved them against it. They were reserved. They were assigned that they would not. Read that one.
Even so then, at this present time,
mm-hmm,
also there is a remnant according to the election of grace.
No, to the election of you believing, you exercising your faith. Uh-uh. The election or the choice, and the choice is of grace. All right, read Ella.
And if by grace.
If it's by grace.
Then it's no more works.
It's no more works. Yeah. It cannot be grace and works together. Man. They are mutually X, not inclusive, exclusive. Read it.
Otherwise, grace is no more grace.
If you put works in it, you've destroyed grace. You've killed the poor fella. Mm-hmm. All right. Read.
But if it be a work.
And on the other hand, if it's of works of any kind, my friend, my sister, my brother, or my fellow American,
yes,
if you bring your faith to the table, it is a work. It is something contributed. It is ergon. It's something that you brought in. So then your salvation was not totally given unto you, which grace is. It's a gift. It's unmerited favor. It's undeserved kindness. If you usher in your little supposedly ministered up, wrought up faith out of you, you have killed grace. The Bible said if it be of grace, it's no more of work.
Amen.
Your faith would be a work.
Amen. That's it.
Read it, Ella. Even though that second part is not in the original manuscripts, it serves a purpose today. But if it be of works, then there's no more grace.
Otherwise, work is no more work.
Finish reading, Ella.
What then? Israel hath not obtained,
mm-hmm,
that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it.
Those that were chosen obtained it.
And the rest were blinded.
Yeah. Who blinded them? Next verse.
Accordingly, as it is written,
mm-hmm,
God had given them the spirit of slumber.
Who gave it to them?
God
gave them the spirit of slumber. What?
Eyes that they should not see.
Uh-huh.
And ears that they should not hear.
How long?
Until this day.
Hallelujah. They couldn't believe if they wanted to. Only those chosen obtained it, received it, were graced it from God.
Amen.
Same thing in the general populace of the earth. If God did not ordain you to believe, you never believe. If God did not ordain and place you in eternity in the body of Christ, you'll never be there. Never. Never. Never.
Amen. That's it.
Read it, Elder.
And David said, let their table be made a snare,
mm-hmm,
and a trap,
yes, sir,
and a stumbling block,
mm-hmm,
and a recompense unto them.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10, let their eyes be darkened,
mm-hmm,
that they may not see, and bow down their back always.
Yes, and finish verse 11.
I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall?
Mm-hmm.
God forbid.
Yes.
But rather, through their fall,
mm-hmm,
salvation is coming to the Gentiles.
Yes.
For to provoke them to jealousy.
Hallelujah. Now.
Now, if the fall of them be the riches of...
No, that's enough, Ella.
Okay, amen.
In all the dispensations, but grace, in all the dispensations, in all the administrative rules that God had given to his people, innocence, conscience, human government, promise to Abraham, law to Moses and Israel, grace to the body of Christ, kingdom to Israel, and those Gentiles that would be joined to Israel after we are out of here. In all the dispensations but grace, we have either conditions or stipulations or both. In all the dispensations but grace. A condition and a stipulation would be foreign,
yes,
to grace.
Uh-huh.
It would cancel out grace.
Yes. Amen.
Now, tell me what a stipulation is. I'm glad you asked me. A stipulation is to insist on something or mention it in making an agreement. Woo-wee. Again, let me go up to the other one. In all the dispensations but grace, you have either conditions or stipulations or both.
Amen.
Stipulation is,
amen,
to insist on or make mention in an agreement,
mm-hmm,
or mention it in the making of agreement.
Mm-hmm.
A condition is a thing on which a statement or happening or an existing depends.
Yeah.
It's something that a happening or a statement or agreement or anything else, it hangs, it hinges on, it depends on that. That which is required in order to effectuate, bring about. That's all effectuate means. Bring about. That which is required in order to effectuate or bring about a covenant, an agreement, and so on. That's a condition. Stipulation and condition. In all the dispensations but grace. In innocence. Bilateral covenant, condition. God told Adam he could eat of every tree but one. In consciousness, he ate it, so now he's bearing the consequences. Conscious means to know within. He knew he had broken God's law. Bilateral, the agreement between him and God. In human government, is a unilateral covenant that God made with Noah. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He could have chosen anybody else. He didn't have to choose Noah.
Right.
God put all the conditions on him There are conditions implied, but God carried them all out. But he just gave him the stipulation, make a boat. Hurry up. It's going to rain. And promise. It's a unilateral covenant. Everything, all the conditions, well, they are implied, but God put them on him. He upheld all the conditions of the covenant. But he stipulated to Abraham, get away from your family to a land that I'll show you.
Amen.
Under law, straight out condition. Straight out.
Yes.
Thou shalt not kill.
Right.
Thou shalt not steal. Oh my God, I go no further. Been broken my whole. Kingdom. The kingdom time or the kingdom dispensation, amen, is as a result of the Abrahamic covenant wherein you have the Davidic, the Palestinian, the Davidic covenant dealing with the kingship, son of Jesus Christ reigned, son of David, Jesus Christ reigned forever. That's why Matthew and Luke gave Jesus's ministry, all Jesus' lineage, all the way back to King David. But in the kingly line, the Lord cut it off at one of David's sons. But the Lord had already shot it to another one of David's sons to authenticate it.
That's right.
And make it binding and make it true and make it real in manifestation. Palestinian covenant got to do with the land. Quit running over there, said this shows that God knows the boundaries he given Israel. The new covenant. Amen. How God would bless them through Christ.
That's right.
Amen. And would take their sins away and would bear all the conditions that they could not do. As it is found in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34.
Amen.
To the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. The Lord said, you broke my old covenant. I'm going to put it in your hearts and cause you, amen, to keep it. Stipulations, but they are carried out by God. Grace, no conditions, no stipulations. Those brethren came preaching a kingdom gospel where there are stipulations. All right. You still got doubt in your mind. I don't blame you. You're a discriminating individual. Let me show you. May I give you a sampling? A sampling. All right. In Matthew, well, first of all, in the fourth chapter of Matthew, I think the 21st verse, Jesus Christ went into the synagogues, and the Bible said he preached the gospel of the kingdom. Or the kingdom gospel,
amen,
which he gave to his earthly 12 disciples to propagate or preach to the Jews only.
Amen.
After Christ's
amen
ascension, resurrection and ascension,
yes,
it expanded,
yes,
to some Gentiles. It was first manifested through Peter preaching,
right,
to the household of Cornelius, and it started and it sprang forth from there. But all those, both Jew and those Gentiles, they were preached a kingdom gospel and they were assigned to the kingdom church.
Amen.
Kingdom church.
Right.
Grace church, the mystery, conversion of Saul hadn't even took place yet.
That's right.
Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Stipulation. If ye forgive not men their trespasses. You got a red Bible with writing in red. This is in red. You believe the red writing. This is the red writing. Christ wasn't lying. In the kingdom dispensation, you had stipulations, Israel, and conditions. Israel broke them.
Yes.
Yes. According to Jeremiah 31:31-34, the Lord fulfilled them, put the obligation on him since they broke them and couldn't keep them. He was going to put it in their inward parts and cause them to fulfill them. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Now, in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, under grace, that was kingdom preaching, kingdom teaching, kingdom law. That's the way it was, and that's the way it is. Grace. And when you hear this, I hope you'll understand more why Paul went into a frenzy with those brethren, kingdom brethren, that came preaching their gospel come from the Lord Jesus Christ to the apostles, to the disciples, other disciples, to preach primarily to Jews, and then to those Gentiles that will be added and blessed as a result of Israel being blessed. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, or just like God, for Christ's sake, hath already in eternity forgiven you. If you were placed, baptized spiritually into the body of Christ in eternity, what do in the world do you need with a stipulation, a condition, or anything else? You were already saved from eternity. All that needed was God to create time and then manifest it when he brought you on the scene of time, manifest it unto you, zap, and have you exposed as having been one of his all the time. And you went out there and cut the food and raised all kind of and done everything you big enough and little enough and bad enough to do.
Yeah.
And you didn't even know, I didn't even know when I first got the hair weave in and the gold tooth on, I didn't know that I belonged to the Lord.
Oh,
and that stuff was going to have to go because manifestation time was upon us.
Well,
hallelujah. There are no stipulations or conditions in grace.
Amen.
If it reeks with the smell of a condition or a stipulation, then you need to study it, you need to exegete it, according to the threefold process of strict Bible exegesis.
Amen.
Every saint don't even know it is, let alone do it. We only know because the Lord revealed it unto us that understand it. They are grammatical. Check out the grammar.
Uh-huh.
The Bible wasn't written in English initially, originally. It wasn't written in English, Old Testament, Hebrew.
Amen.
And what we call the New Testament, what really is the New Testament and the Grace Testament in there, in Paul's epistles, written in Greek.
That's it.
Amen. English language only 400 to 500 years old. You got to go to the source or the root of the matter to find out what it's talking about.
Right.
The Greek language.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do it if we're trying to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do it if we're trying to get ahead. We'll do it if we're trying to graduate. Go to Greek and learn.
That's it, man. That's it.
I'm going to get my master's. Study all night, all year. The historical. Who was he talking to? When did he say it? What were the conditions and or the dispensation and covenant agreement that he spoke it under? Historical.
Amen.
And for God's sake, contextual. According to the context. Contextual means. If you have to. Don't just get some one verse out and run. Run an Olympic race. No. Contextualize it.
Amen.
That means go up if you have to, go way up.
Amen.
And if necessary, go down a few verses. And for God's sake, see what's being talked about. Before we pick one little verse out, thinking it proves our denominational point, and run with it.
Amen.
Now you know I'm going to back that up, don't you? Just knowing Deacon, you know I'm going to back that up. There's somebody in this world, or maybe in my presence, that it then came to their mind, well, what about the if in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 2? You know I'm going there. Elder Liverman, would you please turn with me? Now, somebody think I'm going straight to it. Elder Liverman, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to begin at verse 20. No way am I going to jump right in there. I'm going to contextualize and show you that that is not a condition by the grace apostle, the grace proponent himself. No way. No way. 1 Corinthians. I'm going.
This is chapter 14.
Chapter 14.
Verse 20.
And we're going to begin at verse 20. But first of all, Elder, let me say something. And we are talking about the Corinthian church here. We're not talking about the Ephesian saints. We're not talking about the Colossian saints. And God knows we're not talking about the Philippian saints. We are talking about those, oh my God, Corinthians. Fussy, selfish, foolish, don't care, me and mine, and later for you, saints,
Man.
Saints, saved folk.
Man.
Paul is admonishing them to a degree in grace. To admonish means to give a mild verbal rebuke. In 1 Corinthians 13, what we call the love chapter, he's telling them about love. These Corinthians were bent on speaking in tongues, the sign gifts, speaking in tongues, miracles, and the like. Sound like anybody we know? Tongues, signs, miracles, and healings. They were even cutting the fool over in the 11th chapter regarding the Lord's Supper. Those that had money was having a hoedown, so to speak.
That's it.
Those that were poor were just getting by. They were just glad to be there, to an extent. Then, in chapter 13, the Lord is admonishing them on love or loving one another. Admonishing them that love is the primary thing. Don't care how many tongues you speak, how much giving you give, how much healings, whatever gifts you have, love is the principal thing. Then we didn't have to do it to the Philippian saints, the Colossian saints, but these folk, saints. Now we come to chapter 14. And we are going to begin at verse 20 and see their spiritual father who preached the gospel unto them, Paul, how he is still trying to get these Corinthians to do the right thing. Act like who they are. That's what he was doing. All right. Ella, begin reading at verse 20.
1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20.
Mm-hmm.
Brethren,
hold it. Unbelievers. Did he say unbelievers?
No.
What did he say?
Brethren.
These are brethren. Brethren. All right, read on, Elder.
Brethren, be not children in understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Howbeit in malice be ye children,
but in
understanding be men.
Be a child in malice. That means little or no malice. But in understanding, be a man.
Amen.
All right, Ella.
In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that I will, they not hear me, saith the Lord.
All right. All right, they were running after tongues. It was the most showy of the gifts. And he's telling them what the origination was. In the law, the Lord told Israel, with other tongues and other lips will I speak to this people, yet for all that, they won't hear it. Mm-hmm. All right, read on, Ella.
Wherefore, tongues are for a sign.
Tongues are for a sign.
Not to them that believe.
Not to them that are believing.
But to them that believe not.
That's in the present tense. Tongues for a sign, not to those believing, not bringing your faith, but you are believing because you are caused to believe. But to them that are unbelievers, that have not been caused to believe. All right?
But prophesying serve not for them that believe it not.
Serve not for them that are unbelievers.
But for them which believe.
Again, present tense. Them that are believing. All right?
If therefore the whole church be come together into one place,
mm-hmm.
and all speak with tongues,
mm-hmm.
and there come in those that are unlearned,
mm-hmm.
or unbelievers.
Unbelievers.
Will they not say that ye are mad?
All right. If the Lord sends one in,
glory.
Or if the whole church be come together, aorist tense, past completed action, God decrees in eternity, it taking place in time. And if there, therefore the whole church come together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in, again, aorist tense, subjunctive mood, but aorist tense, whoever might come through, iffy probability, whoever has been already ordained to come in, those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? Uh-huh.
But if all prophesy,
and
there come in one that believeth not,
mm-hmm.
or one unlearned,
mm-hmm.
he is convinced of all. He is judge of all.
He is being convinced of all. He is being judged of all. All right?
And thus are the secrets of his heart.
Now listen. His coming in as an unbeliever is in manifestation. It was ordained that he come in, and it was ordained that he is one of the Lord's. Here it is, right here. Read it now.
And thus are the secrets of his heart.
Thus are the secrets of his heart.
Made manifest.
Being made manifest.
And so falling down on his face.
And falling down on his knees is in the aorist tense. Aorist tense.
Amen.
Past completed action. This had already been ordained of God. It's a done deal. All he was doing falling down was showing forth, manifesting what that he was the Lord's, which he had already been ordained and creed to be.
Amen.
Some folk, I don't care how much you preach, prophesy, and pray, they're not going to conform or believe in Christ,
Amen.
Manifestly
Amen.
Believe in Christ.
Yes.
If they're not chosen,
Amen.
They will never, ever be a believer. Or be believing. Never. Go on, Ella. What else he'll do? Fall down on his face. And what else he'll do?
And face, he will worship God.
Worship God.
And report that God is in you of a truth.
Have the same testimony y'all got. All right. Read, Ella.
How is it then, brethren,
mm-hmm.
when you come together?
Now, listen closely to that. Why is it that when you come together,
mm-hmm. every one of you have a song.
Everybody got their own song. I want my song sung. I don't care about you. All right. What else, Ella?
Half a doctrine.
Everybody want to teach something. Mm-hmm.
Half a tongue.
Everybody want to get their tongue in or gibberish.
Amen.
Or whatever it is. Uh-huh.
Half a revelation.
Especially if you took Spanish in school and were pretty good at it. You might hear some Spanish in there.
Uh-huh.
All right. And have a revelation. They just got to tell it.
Half an interpretation.
Got an interpretation.
Let all things be done.
Away with that foolishness. Love one another. Prefer one another in love. Esteem others more highly than yourself. Me esteem Elder Liverman and Elder Nickerson more highly than me. I ain't going to lose nothing. I'm not going to be not a member of the body of Christ.
Man.
The Lord has my elevation already, or my de-elevation. Already determined.
Amen.
Esteem others.
That's it.
I didn't say. All right. Let everything be done to edify. Well, it looked like me and Ella up here, both of us trying to get our message across.
Oh.
That ain't edifying. Sisters, them that just walked in will walk out. Read on, Ella.
If any man speak in an unknown tongue.
All right, now listen at these restrictions he's putting at these fussy saints, carnal saints. All right?
Let it be by two.
Two?
Or at the most three.
Uh-huh.
And that by, of course.
Take turns. Mm-hmm.
And let one interpret.
And let one interpret. Now, if, what else? What else?
But if there be no interpreter.
If there be no interpreter.
Let him keep silence in the church.
Shut up. All right.
And let him speak to himself and to God.
Now, you think Paul giving all these admonitions for nothing?
Oh, have mercy.
Look in the 11th chapter and see how they were acting. They were even getting like I used to be. Drunk as Cuda Brown. At the Lord's Supper. He wouldn't be saying all this you don't find in Philippians and Colossians and so forth. He wouldn't be saying all this if it wasn't needed. They were carrying on at the Lord's Supper. Read on, Ella. Verse 29.
Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge.
All right. And like you said there, by course, after one another. All right.
If anything be revealed.
It is.
To another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace.
Let Deacon Gavin sit down.
But ye may all prophesy one by one. That all may learn and all may become comforted.
All right, read it.
And the spirits of the prophets.
I'm going to let you read freely now, Ella. I think that we get the gist of what's going on here. To a fussy, carnal bunch of saints, God's people, Paul is giving these admonitions. Read on, Ella.
And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace.
Yes.
And as in all churches of the saints.
All right. Now, here come a portion of him. I'm going to make a small comment. Read, Ella.
Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted to them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church.
Everybody don't have a husband. Go ahead, Ella.
What came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only?
All right. All I know is that the Apostle Paul had many females, women, that were helping him in his ministry and his service unto the Lord. Phoebe, Aquila's wife Priscilla, and Chloe, and some others. A bunch of women helping him. Read on, Ella.
Verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge.
Do this.
That the things that I write
that
unto
I
you.
I write to you.
Are the commandments of the Lord.
Straight from God. All right.
But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant.
Let him stay ignorant. All right, Ella, what else?
Wherefore, brother?
Wherefore, you fussy, carnal brethren?
Covet to prophesy.
Covet. Crave to prophesy. Prophesy.
And forbid not.
And don't forbid the other ones.
To speak with tongues.
And speak with tongues. Now, here's the clincher again. What verse 40 say?
Verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order.
But for God's sake, quit your bickering and let all things be done decently and in order. We're contextualizing right on into chapter 15, verse 1. As the Bible was not initially written, broken down in chapters and verses.
Right.
They are very helpful for us to go to a certain specific place. But this is a letter unto God's people. Read it, Elder.
Verse 15.
Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you.
I'm declaring, present tense, unto you.
The gospel which I preach unto you.
The gospel which I was ordained, aorist tense, that God ordained that I preach this unto you.
Which also ye have received.
Same thing, aorist tense, past completed action. It was ordained of God in eternity. You received it.
Amen.
It was ordained of God in eternity that I would preach it unto you. Done deal. Past completed action. Past completed. Not started. Completed.
Yes,
done deal. Before you were ever created, before the Lord ever said, let there be anything, you were ordained to receive this gospel and receive it. You will.
Amen.
And they did. And what, Elder?
And wherein ye stand.
Now, perfect tense, perfect indicative. Perfect tense is a past completed action with the results coming down to the present. If the thing was complete that they would stand, how in the world are these folk going to have an iffiness about them continuing in their salvation?
Mm-hmm.
It was a done deal. It was a past completed action.
Man.
Now, this is in the perfect tense, past completed action with the results coming down to the present. All right, go on, Elder.
By which also ye are saved.
By which also ye are saved. Passive voice. Present tense, passive voice. You are saved right now. You didn't do it. Passive voice. You were passive. You didn't do it. Because of those aorist tenses up there. It was ordained that I would preach it to you. Done deal. It was ordained that you would receive it. Done deal. In eternity. To be manifested in time.
Yes, right.
And the perfect tense. It was ordained that you would stand in it. It was ordained in eternity, and it will come right down to the present. If there be a tomorrow, you will still be standing.
Glory.
If there be a tomorrow after tomorrow, you will still be standing. Whenever the present is,
amen.
All the tomorrows of yesterday, when they were present,
amen.
You stood. And you will stand today, and you will stand while there is ever a present.
Amen.
You will stand.
Amen.
Now, now,
amen.
How dare God's servants,
amen,
come and try to root out what God has completed, finished, done deal in eternity with what seemed like an if. He's not preaching on salvation here.
Amen.
He's preaching on what they are doing with the message that he brought them. Are you still acting a fool? Did it benefit you?
That's it.
At all?
Man.
We'll see it in the rest of our context. Elder, start back at verse 2 again, the beginning.
By which also ye are saved.
Uh-huh.
If you keep in memory.
If
that
you're keeping in memory, present tense.
What I preach unto you.
What I was ordained to preach unto you again, past complete action.
Unless ye have believed in vain.
Unless ye have believed or ordained, past completed action, ordained to believe in vain. Now, this in vain here, this Greek word, you'll see it again, it means idly. If you're believing,
uh-huh,
ain't no biggie.
Amen.
It means without reason or effect.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
If your believing has not affected you to start treating your brother and sister right.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
It means without cause, you'll believe without cause or vainly. Mm-hmm. It's not affecting you for change or for what we read back in mm-hmm. chapter 13, for loving, mm-hmm. or in 14, for not trying to get your thing in the church and hiding somebody else. Oh, we saints, we don't do that, do we? You know we do.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Let me read this. First off, Paul is not preaching salvation here, back from chapter 13, but rather he is trying to get these carnal, selfish saints,
uh-huh,
to come together.
Bring it home.
And stop bickering. Now, above, he is rehearsing to them the virtues of the gospel of grace he preached to them,
uh-huh,
lest they had believed to no good purpose,
yeah,
or no good end. They were still cutting the food.
Amen.
All right. And that what they had believed and manifestly had been saved by, not eternally and actually, but manifestly in time when they were living, saved by, has not helped or caused them to come together in unity, brotherly love, and affection. We're going to see it in the rest of this context. All right? Read that verse one more time, Ella. I won't have to comment. I've already done it on that verse. Verse 2.
Verse 2. By which also ye are saved,
mm-hmm.
if ye keep in memory
mm-hmm.
what I preach unto you,
mm-hmm.
unless ye have believed in vain.
Verse 3, all the way to verse 11, Ella.
For I deliver unto you
mm-hmm.
first of all that which I also received,
mm-hmm.
how that Christ died for our sins.
That's it. He died for our sins.
According to the scriptures.
Uh-huh.
And that he was buried.
He was buried.
And that he rose again the
mm-hmm.
third day,
mm-hmm.
according to the scriptures.
Yes, sir.
And that he was seen of Cephas.
Seen of Cephas.
And of the 12.
Then the 12.
After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once.
Uh-huh.
Of whom the greater part remain
mm-hmm.
until this present. But some are falling asleep.
Some dead already.
Mm-hmm. But after that, he was seen of James.
Yes.
Then of all the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
And last of all, he was seen of me also,
mm-hmm.
as of one born out of due time.
According to that verse 7 and 8, you know Paul wasn't one of the 12. He was seen of all the apostles, and then, last of all, then he was seen of me. All right, read, Ella.
For I am the least of the apostles.
All right.
That am not meet to be called an apostle.
Y'all know what that word meet mean? I'm not fit to be called an apostle. He's going to tell you why. Read, Ella.
Because I persecuted the church of God.
And I mean he did a job. Uh-huh.
But by the grace of God,
ooh.
I am what I am.
But by what?
But by the grace of God.
By the grace of God.
I am what I am.
Mm-hmm. What else?
And this grace.
And his grace.
Which was bestowed upon me.
Not his works, not my believing, not my works. His grace, which was bestowed upon me, what?
Was not in vain.
All right, there that word again. It was not in vain. It was not unto emptiness or aimlessness. You know, me getting saved and no one do nothing.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
I know a brother that left his title deacon so they wouldn't ask him to preach no more. I know a guy like that. Read that one. Hurry, Ella, read.
Uh-huh.
Before somebody ask some questions.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
but I labored more abundantly.
All right. It was not in vain. It was not unto emptiness or aimlessness or foolishness like you all were putting forward. But this is what it caused in me. I labored more abundantly what?
Than they all.
This is what it caused in Paul. I labored more abundantly than they all. The grace of God, the unmerited favor which I was saved by. It caused me to labor more. Uh-huh.
But the grace of God which was with me.
I wasn't doing it. It was the grace of God.
That's it.
You not doing it. It's the grace of God.
That's right.
Read Ella.
Therefore, whether it were I or they.
Yes.
So we preach.
Uh-huh.
And so ye believe.
So we are called to preach. Or so we are preaching and aorist tense. So you have been ordained and are believing. All right. Last one. Ella, go with me. Let's look at grace where we are. Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. I'm going to let you just run it and let it fly, Ella. Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Now that we done cleared up that seeming roadblock, Ella, and if you want to see the conversion of more Corinthians and how long Paul labored there, look in the 18th chapter of Acts and read it. You'll see his labors in Corinth and what the Lord told him. Told him to speak and don't hold your peace. For I got much people in this city. And all the Corinthians hadn't even been manifested saved yet. But the Lord said, I got much people here already. God got more folk in here. Some of them out there cutting the food, doping and killing and raping and carrying on. God got some of them are the Lord's people that it hadn't been manifested yet. If all of us were able to tell everything we done, then we could see it.
Amen.
We could see it then.
Yeah.
All right. Let it fly, Ella. Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 14. Let it fly.
Ephesians chapter 1, 3, begin with the third verse.
Yes, let's see what grace is all about.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ.
Have already blessed us. Run, Ella.
Accordingly, as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
Ooh, ain't that plain? Mm-hmm.
That we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
All right.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Who's doing everything here for his will and read so far? God.
Amen. That's it.
All right, go on, Ella.
To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace.
Mm-hmm. We have it now. All right.
Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will.
We didn't run to him. He abounded toward us.
Glory to God.
Uh-huh. Having made known the mystery of his will, being to Paul and Paul to the other apostles and then getting down to us. Yes.
According to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ.
Yes.
Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance.
Yes.
Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted.
That's perfect tense. Perfect tense, past completed action, and the passive voice. We didn't do it. All right, with the results coming to the present. All right, we're still trusting. All right.
After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed.
Heard's in the aorist tense. Read, Ella.
Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Now, what you seal something for? To keep it. So to keep and don't spoil.
Amen.
Don't get away. All right, now, saints of God, close. You and I, we are saved because we were saved. No stipulations, no conditions. We were saved by grace,
glory to God.
And we're saved by grace alone. We are members of his body. Glory. We don't really understand what they're talking about.
Man.
We are members of his body. We are members of him who said before Abraham was, I am. We are members of the body of him, manifestation-wise, who created all things.
Yes, amen.
And in all things in him consists. We are members of Christ's body. We are joined unto deity.
Amen.
New Jerusalem is a none significance to us. I don't care how much gold is paid with.
Amen.
We can be there only because our Lord, whom we are members of his body, is there.
Amen.
All things are ours, which we can't even fathom. We can't even fathom. We are members of Christ's body. We are not separated from him. We are joined unto deity.
Glory.
We own all things, angels, everything will be in subjection unto us. You're talking about New Jerusalem, my God. Everything in existence will be at our disposal. Oh, hallelujah. We are members of his body. We are blessed. We were always blessed. We were never not blessed. We were blessed when we was out doing things in the world. We were blessed when we were having a good time, so we called in the world. We were blessed when the Lord ministered his word to us. We are blessed when we get a job. We are blessed when we get fired. We are blessed when our children are acting right. We are blessed when they're not acting right. We are blessed when we have a relationship.
Amen.
We blessed when we don't have a relationship.
Amen.
We blessed, praise God, at all times. We were members of Christ's body from eternity. We are joined unto deity.
Amen.
All you see is but for a time. Temporary. But we were from eternity members of his body. It just hadn't been manifested yet. God bless you.
Thank God. Thank God. Thank God.
Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Come on, give him another hand. Amen.